And now it's time to check in with our board game players who've been attempting to escape the wheel of cyclical or existence or samsara in this board game process. If you missed it earlier, we sent Monisha and Sherry off to play Buddha Wheel, which tries to promote self-awareness rather than competition. So how did they get on? Did either of you reach enlightenment in your half hour or so?
I seem to be going backwards rather than forwards. I've moved from being a demigod to a hungry ghost.
What does that mean, Sherry?
Well, it doesn't mean that I haven't had breakfast yet, which is actually true. But a hungry ghost is somebody I've learned who is always yearning for something just out of reach, and then when you've got it, it's not enough and you move on. But interestingly, I wouldn't have known any of that had I not been playing with Buddhists who were able to explain what all these cards meant.
Monisha, you're a Buddhist. Is this really a spiritual journey, or is it a bit of a stretch to suggest you can get to enlightenment on a Sunday morning in about half an hour?
Well, it's a model of a spiritual journey. No, it is a thought-provoking model of something we're actually living, definitely. Unfortunately, I got stuck in the God realm. I got stuck in heaven, which in Buddhism is a place where you really suffer. It's all very lovely, but you can get very complacent. So I spent the whole of the game plodding around one section at a time, doing nothing.
And if you're in this section, what happens? You have to meditate on what?
No, I just had to keep giving one experience after another of how wonderful life is. I live in a nice place. I have enough food to eat.
That made me want to be a god, because then you can start making things up. What I loved about this game is that it would seem to me very creative, and all the little stories about what was happening to you actually provoked you to think about what was happening in your life and whether in fact these experiences are analogous to something within you. And it felt profoundly psychological, and I enjoyed that a lot. Very much so.
And you managed to overcome your competitive side a little.
No way. I was really upset because I was the last person to die, and I wanted to do that because when you die in this game, you can get reborn again. So, you know, there was a point when I said, didn't I, Monisha, hooray, I'm dead, because I actually wanted to. So it does actually skew your value systems. But I still felt as if, you know, there was a point in getting on and getting further and what was going to happen next. So there is an element. I mean, there isn't a winner or a loser. I can see that. But I still feel that there's something that makes you carry on.
Do you think, Monisha, it would be very difficult for a non-Buddhist to play this game without someone there to help them?
I think it would be quite difficult because you'd need to know something, I think, of the background of the icon it represents in the first place, the system it represents. But with a bit of help, I think it really does throw up a mirror to your state of mind and the way you look at life. It's quite revealing.
Apparently it's already selling quite well in America. Do you think it would sell over here?
Yes, definitely. Although, given that there's only 1 in 400 people is a Buddhist in Britain today, you know, it's probably a somewhat limited market, but great fun. We laughed a lot over this.
Sherry, would you go out and buy it?
I think I would, actually, and I could see a real benefit with this game in the classroom, you know, as a sort of teaching device about Buddhism, and it's a great deal of fun and a creative game, I think, in its own way. I would love to have one at home.
Sherry, Ashworth and Monisha, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.